about getting beyond good intentions. I am thrilled when I see lives being transformed by God. It's wonderful, amen? It's wonderful to see a life transformed by Christ. Sometimes, though, we may have good intentions. It doesn't always lead to good fruitfulness in our lives. And taking that intention and turning it into fruitfulness is what God intends and expects and asks of us. I can say all day long that I want to train for an Ironman competition. Swim, 2.5 miles, bicycle another 100 and some miles, and run 26 something miles. I can say all day long, boy, I have these good intentions. But until I start putting some of my intentions into the practice, until I start taking the things that I know and that I intend to do and begin to put it into practice, it's just in vain. And the truth is, many times it takes radical pain to make radical change in our lives. And God uses pain in our lives to grab our attention. He uses pain in our lives to get us going in a direction that He asks of us and that He expects us to go. But the good news is, I believe many times you can avoid that pain if you pray and ask for wisdom to change. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. We're always looking for measurable signs as to how we are doing. With kids, we give them measurable signs. Nothing works like a gold star for a child, saying, you're doing well. My kids go to school, a Christian school, and when they do well, they get their stars put on their chart. And it's a measurable sign to them that they've done something very well. As you grow up, it changes, but we still look for measurable signs, a compliment. At work, it's a raise, a promotion, an award that gives us confidence that we're on the right track. In Christian circles, we often look for signs in people to determine if someone is truly spiritual or not spiritual, what kind of gifts they possess. However, God gives us a sign as to whether or not we are mature in our love. A sign in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. And I would ask that you assist and help me, and let's read this together, shall we? But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. How do we know we're in Him? What's this sign? If anyone obeys His word. This is getting beyond the good intentions. And this is moving into another realm. Taking God's word and applying it and becoming doers of what is right, what He tells us. God's love is truly made complete in Him. This word complete can be translated as mature. I want you as a church to become mature in your faith. Mature and not babies anymore. You must become mature. God's will is for you to become mature. And for you to be mature, the sign of this is that you take God's word and you live it and you do it and you practice it. You put it into action. But too often people rate themselves by intention. Sometimes we feel if we have a desire to worship and serve God, then that is enough. Yet is desire enough? The Bible says it is he who keeps his word who will understand. I've noticed a desire in my life to lose some weight. A desire in my life to exercise. But then when I see that no weight is lost, no more fitness gained, I desire and intend even harder. And sometimes I might even feel guilty about it. But that's all it goes. That's as far as it goes. And the fact is, I will only be in shape and lose weight when I turn that intent into reality. It's the same thing like with our marriages. I can intend to love my wife. I can intend to be a good husband to her. I can intend to take her out. But I have to actually do it. I have to actually apply and do it. It is not a mature love if it's simply intent without action. And the same is true in our relationship with God. We have to have more than religious desire. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. What's your claim this morning, Christian? Who do you claim as your Lord, as your Savior? Who do you claim as Master? Who do you say is Lord in your life? Is it being seen? Are you walking in Him? Are you walking as Jesus did? In other words, we have to go beyond good intentions to a mature love. There's a few things this morning that we can do to get beyond just good intentions. The first one is this: practice. Practice what is right. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Verse 13. It says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Talking about maturity. He's talking about spiritual maturity. There's a couple of words here I want you to notice. One of them is this. It's actually a phrase. By constant use. The word for this phrase, by constant use, can also be practice. The Greek word is actually a word that is familiar in our language. It's like an apprentice word. The Greek word is echo. E-C-H-O. Echo. What it's saying here is what you see, you copy, you do. What you hear, you put into action. You echo it. You respond back. You put it into action. We're to echo the things of Christ. We're to echo Him. We're to walk as He walked. We're to speak as He spoke. Constant practice. We need to train ourselves to distinguish good from evil. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, follow God's ways until it becomes natural. But let me tell you something. There's a conflict, and that is when we don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing right. I don't feel like doing the things that I know I should do. I don't feel like not doing some of the things I know I should not do. And people sometimes think it's hypocritical to do something when you don't feel like doing it. Have you ever been there? You feel hypocritical. I don't feel like it. But the truth is, when our actions are right, we train our senses. We train our feelings and our heart to know when we are acting faithfully. And eventually that becomes natural. It's a training ground. It's a training process. We must train and practice what we know is right. For instance, we may not feel like going to church. There's a few people missing this morning. They may not feel like going to church. And I want to tell you something. I was raised in a Christian home, in a pastor's home, and there were plenty of times I didn't feel like going to church when I was young. I didn't feel like it. There were times, early times in the history of this church, I didn't feel like it. I didn't have a choice because my parents were intent on training me to do right. You train, you practice. We don't go by our feelings. Our feelings lie to us. Our feelings deceive us. God's Word doesn't. Parents, train your kids. We don't let kids decide some things. We don't let kids tell us when they want to eat, if they want to go to school or not go to school. But some parents let their kids decide if they want to go to church or not. They say it's a decision they just need to make themselves. Well, listen, accepting Christ as their Savior is indeed a decision that they need to make themselves at some point. But as a parent, you're to guide them, you're to train them, you're to lead them, you're to instruct them. And as far as church goes, there is no option. We go to church. When the doors are open, we go. I grew up in church and the doors were open on Sunday morning. This is the Lord's day. Nothing is going to keep us away. Friends coming into town, we go to church. Sunday evening comes. It's Bible study time. We gather as a church. We gather together. Nothing's going to keep us away from that. That wasn't an option. And I want to encourage you to consider viewing God and viewing the church and the Bible study and the messages. View it the same way. Train yourselves in what is right. There are some things that may be difficult. Train yourself until it becomes so natural. Be faithful. Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your wife. And having devotions with your family. Train yourselves until it becomes natural. Until something's wrong if you don't have devotions. Something's not right if you're not spending some time with your children, with your husband and wife, in devotions and in prayer. Train yourselves. Each day I fear too many people fill their mind up with rubbish. The TV is one of the biggest rubbish feeders I think we have in the society. What are you watching at home? What are you watching? What are you allowing into your home, into your kids, into your family, into your mind? What are you feeding? And then you give 1 hour on Sunday and expect that to undo all the rubbish that has been entering into your home. It can't work. This is not training. This is not training yourselves. This is not becoming mature in the Word. What are you listening to continually on the radio? What is your passion? Where's your heart? The songs that you allow to enter into your mind and the songs that are continually going through your mind, what are they saying? Parents, what are they saying? Train ourselves in God's ways, practicing what is right. We must put it into action, respecting God's instructions regarding many things. Respecting God's instructions regarding our sexual conduct. We live in a society that has no regard for God in regards to sexual conduct. What are you feeding into your mind? What are you feeding into your mind? Are you practicing your faith? Are you practicing what God says? So this is the first step toward getting beyond good intentions, is to practice this. Second, though, is to set parameters in place and respect them. Set parameters in place in your life. A parameter is a fence line. And sometimes in your life, and you must do this between you and God and under God's leadership and set some convictions in your life. And these are fences that you put up and say, I will not cross this fence because it's harmful to me. I cannot do this. And sometimes, and we have to understand that where your fence is may be somewhat different than my fence, and my fences may be somewhat different than your fences. But set up fences in your life and say, for my faith, for my relationship with God, for my testimony, for my growth, for my practicing what it is that I say I believe, I must set up these fences in my life. We need to ask ourselves this question. Will we match what we believe to the way we live? Or will we match how we live to what we believe? There's a big difference there. Will we match what we believe to the way that we live? In other words, that is justifying our actions. And humans are fantastic at justifying actions. We're going to change our beliefs and reread the Word of God and reread and reinterpret it here and there to match kind of what we're living like. Instead of saying, God, I want to adjust my life and wrap my life around Your Word and what it says. Don't rationalize away sin. So what should we do? To develop a deep understanding, insight, and mature love, we need to establish parameters and limits on our behavior and be able to stick with them. We need parameters. We need limits. This means we may decide to give up certain things, stay away from certain places or people, not watch certain things. We need to set up these parameters in our life. And you may sit there and say, oh, this is too restrictive. Maybe this is too legalistic or whatever. But I want to tell you something. It's actually empowering when God gives you these parameters in your life and you stand by them and you stand by convictions. Consider this. A river without banks on each side is simply a swamp. Amen? Without parameters. Force without direction is simply an explosion. Fire is a wonderful thing, but if it's not under control and within parameters, it becomes an inferno and destroys everything in its path. A whole road system without any road signs anywhere is like driving in Auckland. It's chaos. It's chaos. It's a one-way ticket to being lost. A mind without discipline is insanity. A life without discipline is a life wasted. A roller coaster is a thrill and it's fun. Amen? But if you take it off the rails, we know it leads to disaster. So we see needs for parameters and for limits in all in everyday life. We need to have parameters and limits that are established by conviction by God in our lives as well. The same goes for us. We must not let the devil dupe us into believing that God has put too many limits on us and that we will never become what He wants us to be. These are lies. These are lies in our lives that leads to destruction, messes up relationships, marriage, it messes up lives. Jeremiah 31:21 says to the people, set up road signs, put up guideposts. Take note of the highway, the road that you take. Put up these guideposts on the road. We have to set parameters and guidelines for ourselves because no one else is going to and can do it for us. Often our hearts have a tendency to wander. What happens? We can say to ourselves, I want to serve Jesus Christ. I want to serve Jesus Christ. Or my heart is for the Lord. Or I will think on the things God wants me to think about. We need to stop and pray and say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh with Your presence again. Get beyond good intentions by setting limits. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right path. Listen, my son, be wise. Keep the heart set on the right path. That means we must give our hearts direction and we must not let our hearts rule our actions. Don't let your hearts rule your actions. Have you ever been told by somebody, just listen to your heart? What does your heart tell you? I'm telling you, don't listen to your heart. Your heart's a liar. Your heart's deceitful. Your heart lies to you all the time. And if you try to listen to your heart all the time, you're going to head down all kinds of paths that God never intended for you to go. So I'm telling you, guide your heart. The Bible tells you to direct your heart. The Bible tells us that the heart is wicked, is deceitful. We cannot trust it. So don't listen to your heart. Don't just go with your feelings. Sometimes people say that. Just go with your feelings. What are your feelings saying? Use your feelings. The Star Wars theme, you know. Go with your feelings. Showing my age by talking about Star Wars? Well, no, it's been out recently. So go with your feelings. Surround yourselves with guideposts to help keep you on track. I remember a friend of mine in the States. You guys know him. I don't know if I should say his name or not. You guys know him, Mark. Not this Mark. Another Mark from Texas. He came in June and he spoke here, and a blessing. I remember one time, he's very open, he's very straight. If you didn't notice, he doesn't try to pretend something he's not. He doesn't try to be super spiritual. He is who he is, and he loves the Lord, but he also has had many struggles. And one time I went out with him, and we sat down for a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and there's this big bookstore nearby, Barnes & Noble's. You know Barnes & Noble's, Mark? And I got my coffee, and I said, "Hey, Mark, I'm going to go over here and check out a magazine, because you can go and pick up the magazines and go sit down and read them with a coffee. And I'm going to go get a car magazine." And Mark said, "No, I don't want to." I said, "Oh, come on, Mark. No, I don't want to." "Why not, Mark? What's up?" He said, "That's not good for me. It's not good for me." He said, "You go ahead, but I can't do that." He says, "I'm setting up some guideposts in my life, because for me that the temptation to look at some of the other things is too great. I don't need to go there." So was he less spiritual than me? Was he not as spiritual, not as strong as me? I don't think so. But he realized, I need to set guideposts in my life because I see weaknesses, and I don't want to put myself in situations and places where it's going to cause me to stumble or cause me to struggle. I want to practice what God wants for my life. And that just, like, wow, blew me away. And it challenged me. And he wasn't being legalistic about it and saying, "Ooh, you go to look at magazines? Ooh, that's bad." You know, he said, "No, it's not good for me. I can't do that. I can't do that." What guideposts do you have in place in your life and in your home? In our home, we have some guideposts in place. In our home, we need these guideposts to keep us on the path. We don't want certain things in our house. We can't allow certain things. In the church, we have some guideposts. You go into my office or this office, and I put up some guideposts regarding male-female relationships with staff members. And there's some things that I just will not do. I don't want to counsel and sit with a single woman or a married woman alone with doors closed. I won't do it. I can't do it. Why? Because I don't trust myself, or I don't trust everybody else? No. I don't trust Satan. I don't trust the devil. Because the Bible says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't want to be his next victim. And you don't either. We need these guideposts. We need these parameters in life. Don't listen to your heart. Number 3 is establish measurable proofs of your faith. You know what's valuable to God? It's not your faith, but it is the proof of your faith. That is valuable to God. When we come to Christ, something is produced in us, because it changes not just our philosophy, but it transforms us. I'm not here, and you shouldn't be here just to philosophize and to share thoughts about the Bible. We're here to say, God, transform my life. God, I want to be transformed by you. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. 1 Peter 1:7, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, these trials he's talking about, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Your faith may be proved genuine. You want to know something that pleases God? Is when your faith is proved. When your faith is put into action, when it's seen, when it's evident, when there's measurable proofs of your faith. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, is there any proof in your faith? I've often said this, and I often think about this. If you were convicted of being a Christian and you were taken off to court and they tried to gather up evidence against you, would they have enough evidence to convict you? Are there enough proofs of your faith to say, there's no doubt this person's a follower of Christ? This person is a Christ follower. He's not like the world. There's something different. He's transformed. The fruitfulness of our lives will be proof. The fruit of the Spirit working in your life. Doing things that God tells us to do, actually doing them. Proof of our faith. Actually giving, actually tithing, and not just in actually spending time and doing devotions at home is evidence of faith, not just intending to. If we only have intent, but we don't have action, we're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. You're going to struggle in your life. You're going to struggle in your growth. You're going to struggle in your families. You're going to struggle in your relationships. You're going to struggle with your kids. So I beg you, this morning I beg you, put your faith into practice. Put your faith into practice. Set parameters. And know that in following God, there's going to be parameters in your life. There's going to be some lines that you're going to draw and you're going to say, I cannot cross this. I cannot go there. And it may mean some changes in your lifestyle. It may mean some different friends. It may mean that. It may mean you go to different places or you don't go to different certain places. It may mean a radical change in your lifestyle. But this is the evidence, this is the proof of your faith that God is looking for. And when He sees it, He smiles. And He sees a mature love, a mature faith. I beg you, practice your faith, set these parameters, establish proofs. From time to time, go back and journal it down and take a look and see the proofs of your faith and see if you're on track with your faith. Have you gotten off track? Too many people have gotten off track. Too many people have allowed things in their life. They don't set up their parameters and fences. And they open a door. They open a door to something that they know is not right. They open a door to Satan. They open a door to the devil. Let me tell you, when you open a door to the devil, you're playing with fire. When you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a lot more than what you bargained for. Don't play with fire. Remember, the proof of your faith is more precious to gold or to God, more precious than gold to God. So practice over and over what is right, even though you don't feel like it. Don't listen to feelings. That means we must be sure to match our actions to what we believe. Secondly, set parameters in our lives and respect them. That may mean pruning away friends, activities, thoughts. These things that tend to rationalize our sin. And finally, establish these measurable proofs in your life. Not just intentions of faith, but proofs. These are most valuable to God. Then these good intentions that you have will turn into fruitfulness. Will you stand with me, please?